You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
In the small but pesky province of the Roman Empire called Judea, where Pontius Pilate was governor, they had a little parade one spring day.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, we give you our praise for the gift of your Son to save our world, and for sending him as you did to be one of us. Light the fire of faith within us that we may accept his atonement for our sins, and his resurrection to put everything right within us and between us. We lift our voices in praise of your goodness and in thanksgiving for your salvation. In the name of Jesus our Savior, amen. The strains of Hail to the Chief signals the arrival of the President of the United States at many of his public appearances. There's no doubt of his arrival. That piece of music is reserved only for him. It's played only when he is there, personally. The melody and the lyrics sung by the Palm Sunday crowd as Jesus entered Jerusalem are reserved only for him. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. No one else can lay claim to the title of Son of David as Jesus can. No one else is there personally so that people can sing it everywhere. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. It must be the strangest happening in the history of the world. The man riding into the city that day on a donkey toward his death there at the end of the week, becoming by crucifixion the Savior of the world and the Lord of heaven and earth. If it were not for his resurrection from the dead, we would not be celebrating this day. We would not be echoing the glad cries of Hosanna in the great hymn, All glory, Lord, and honor to you, Redeemer, King, to whom the lips of children made sweet Hosannas ring. You are the King of Israel and David's royal son. Now in the Lord's name coming, our King and Blessed One. One of the small but pesky provinces of the Roman Empire at that time was Judea, where Pontius Pilate was governor. They had a little parade one spring day. It turned out to be the most famous parade of all time. There was no pomp or display of power. There were no soldiers and no tanks. No enemies in chains after the Roman custom, being dragged through the streets. No bands, and no advance preparations. The whole thing was totally spontaneous. It was a one-man parade. One man called Jesus, on a donkey. The crowds gathered to watch his entry into Jerusalem, which was unexpected because some people were looking for him with ulterior motives in mind. All of a sudden, his admirers got excited as he approached the city. On the spur of the moment, some of them took off their outer robes and spread their garments on the road before him. They pulled branches off the trees and laid them on the street to provide a leafy carpet. The excitement was contagious. Then they began to chant, Hosanna which means save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming in this man. Blessed be God. Hosanna in the highest. People had good reason to be excited. Some thought he was the promised Messiah. Others remembered that the nation had waited for centuries. Others said, he's a prophet. Still others asked, who is this? The crowds replied, this is the prophet, Jesus, the one from Nazareth in Galilee. Matthew, who tells about this incident in the 21st chapter of his gospel, put the whole thing into perspective. This happened that the word of the prophet Zechariah might be fulfilled. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes to you, meek and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt the foal of a beast of burden. This is the man, mounted on a donkey, during this strange prelude of 6 days of horrendous activity, shuttled back and forth between ecclesiastical and civil tribunals, hustled to a variety of demeaning gatherings, victimized by bloodthirsty mobs, and finally stuck up on a crude cross to suffer and die. Palm Sunday should really be called Passion Sunday, marking the somber tones of impending desertion, degradation, and death. But here we are on the first day of Holy Week, amid the crowds, to join in Hail to the Chief, with full recognition, or with refusal to recognize, or even with complete rejection, as the case may be, of what Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem to accomplish. Hail to the Chief, indeed. Hosanna, indeed. A person who receives such honors must wonder once in a while just what it means. Is it just an acknowledgement of high and impressive office, or does it represent personal affection, personal faith, and personal allegiance? The personal needs of people play an awfully important part in answering those questions. The needs of people have not changed, basically, over the centuries. A lot of them want freedom for themselves. How can you be free to be yourself when you don't know who you are? People want to have a purpose in life, but how can you possibly turn around when you don't know that you are lost? People want to feel that they belong to a community, but what if the community itself is going in the wrong direction? People want to have hope, but where is there real hope anywhere in the world today? We are told that people want to have just enough to live on today. But who's going to guarantee that it will be enough to live on tomorrow? The things people need or think they need could be the poorest barometer of what all of us really do need. The yen of people, the desires of the moment, have kept the world's political and economic pots boiling century after century. They have also produced some of the worst tyrants and the most oppressive regimes the world has ever known. Many people would be willing and ready to waft a hail to the chief, to anyone who promises to relieve them of thinking for themselves, about themselves. The fickleness of the crowd is proverbial, hot today and cold tomorrow, here today and gone tomorrow. Hail to him today and to hell with him tomorrow. Palm Sunday inaugurated a series of events which not only dramatize, but deal with the real need of humanity. We see Jesus, acclaimed by the crowds one day, and denounced by them later on in the same week. We see Jesus, the suffering servant of the Most High God, paying with his life for human sin, which in the final analysis is just human pride, defying the Almighty. We see him suffering and dying, the way people suffer and die. We also see him at the beginning of the new week, rising from the dead and reigning in his glory, the same extended arms of love beckoning people to walk in newness of life that can truly be called eternal. The parade on Palm Sunday is the prelude of that exciting and incredible turn of events. The spectacle discloses the thoughts of many hearts as events begin to unroll en route to his cross. A friend of mine told me about his uncle, who had been plagued with sickness for many years. He had been hospitalized a number of times. Not so long ago, the uncle's doctor had to be hospitalized himself for a couple of months. After the doctor recovered, my friend's uncle visited the doctor's office. He said, "Doctor, you tell others, do this, don't do that, take this medicine, follow these rules of health. Doc, how come you don't do what you tell us to do?" The doctor laughed and said, "Well, I'll tell you, I'm made of the same stuff as you are. The heart of the gospel is that Jesus was made of the same stuff, the same human clay as we are, with one big difference. He lived his life without a scrap of selfishness. The greatest thing about him, as his apostles often emphasize, was that he did everything in complete humility. He simply identified with our whole human existence. He suffered the same pains and temptations we have, but never veered from following his Father's will. When he was 33, evil people captured, mocked, tortured, and killed him. His friends forsook him. He felt that his Father had abandoned him. Why? Why did he do this?" He answered that question himself. "My food is to do the will of him that sent me." Jesus followed the will of his Father and never had to feel ashamed. In complete agreement with his Father, he was obedient to death, and that the death of a common criminal. For that, his Father raised him from the dead and declared him to be the Son of God with power by resurrection from the dead. For this, he entered Jerusalem that day in all humility, mounted upon a donkey. For this, he hung on a cross that will never be forgotten. For this, he lives and rules in the glory of his Father and in ready acceptance of all who put their confidence in him. He's worthy of the highest praise. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. He's the promised Savior of the world and the eternal Son of the living God. He earned his glory by living as one of us. With the crowds all around us, swaying one way and then another, it's high time to take a stand and to say to him out of the personal depths of your own conviction, "Hosanna to you. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hail to the chief. All glory, Lord, and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. You are the King of Israel and David's royal son, now in the Lord's name coming our King and Blessed One." A tourist riding in a cab passed the National Archives building of the United States in Washington, D.C., and read the words carved over the entrance, "The past is prologue." "What does that mean?" he asked the driver of the cab. The cabbie replied, "It means you ain't seen nothing yet. The palms in the procession and the hymns of praise are only the prelude of what is still to come. The pride of humanity would make it the prelude of the startling shift from indifference to rejection, from false hope to actual despair, from hailing him to hounding him. People who do that ain't seen nothing yet. Now you get the real picture. The humble and gracious acceptance of hosannas in stalwart and steady obedience to his Father. His acceptance of death for the salvation of the world. His crushing of sin's grip and his unveiling of the glory of life with faith in him. With recognition of all that, you begin to get the picture. You ain't seen nothing yet. The strains of Hail to the Chief sometimes echo through the halls of great arenas and auditoriums. But soon after the chief has departed, the place reverts to a quiet, deserted cavern only occasionally frequented by a crowd. The highs often turn to lows. The valleys become voids. Faith wanes, and commitment wanders. Jesus, the humble king, to whom people all over the world sing Hail to the Chief this day, equips people with his own spirit to accept graciously the ups and to cope with the downs. His wonderful word feeds faith and promotes fellowship in the faith. That's the way he does things for the daughter of Zion, to whom he still comes as a king, meek and mounted upon a donkey. It matters where your heart is. Jesus is worthy of your praise. He invites your faith. He deserves your obedience. He is Lord, and don't let anyone ever forget it. Jesus never forces himself upon anyone. He does demand and command that you believe in him. The good news of Jesus, which you've heard mostly in the ordinary words of ordinary people, has terrific power to light the fire of faith in Jesus. It's done that through the centuries, and it's doing that today. Jesus calls upon you to honor him, not just with your lips, but also with your life. He doesn't count how many religious acts you perform. What matters is that you believe in your heart and that your hands and feet respond to the impulse of your heart. Then you find release from fickleness to faithfulness, making a clean break with sin to live unto righteousness. It matters where your head and your heart are. Not just the head, but also the heart. And not just the heart, but also the head. Together they demonstrate what the Spirit of God can do through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Heads and hearts that hold on to Jesus and hold him forth to the world with a glad Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hail to the chief. Amen.